SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We are going to be joined by Craig Mish from the ballpark of the Miami Marlins here in a little bit, as thankfully Major League Baseball back underway, spring training, pitchers and catchers. We got free agency. We got trades. It's all happening. But of course, you know, in the middle of MLB free agency, NFL free agency is about to start, Selection Sunday. What happens, George? Of course, Tom Brady decides that's his time to announce that he is coming back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, stating, "These past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates and I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business, LFG." Not surprising. I got to say, I didn't really think we were not going to have Tom Brady in the NFL next season. Now, I may be a shade surprised that he is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, the rumors we've been hearing for the last month or so is that he was maybe going to potentially be moving to the San Francisco 49ers. But, George, what do you make of Brady coming back for his 23rd NFL season?
Yeah, I don't think it was shocking. Maybe a little bit surprised. It was certainly not shocking. Took him 40 days to realize, being home with the wife and kids, maybe not where I want to be. So I'll come back here. So he sort of had no choice but to come back with the Buccaneers. They have his rights. So nothing they can remember. He has got a voidable year. That's why they still have his contract for the season. So he had to either come back with them or get them to release him, which I don't think they were going to do, seeing as though they have Garrett and Trask as their backup quarterbacks, or trade him. Well, Lord knows this is the offseason of quarterback trades, but it seems like he is coming back with the Buccaneers. I think it's good for the game. I do. You talk about probably the best quarterback of all time. He's back. I mean, it's good for football. What is shocking, Brady also went Aaron Rodgers. That's it, the NFC? You know, he's not worried about Dak Prescott. He's not worried about Matthew Stafford. I know Stafford beat him in the place, but he's not worried about Stafford. I'm sure he looks at his own division and goes, Kyle Trask, Sam Darnold, Trevor Siemian? Are you kidding me? So I know I'm winning the division. At the very least, I'm winning the division. His next important game really isn't until next January, when you think about it. So, I can't say it's all that surprising, but I think it's good for the game. He's back, and Gronk can't be too far behind. But Tampa Bay is up against it with the salary cap.
And they are, George. I mean, the legal tampering window for the NFL just opened, and Adam Schefter has already blessed us. We already have news. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have let their guard, Alex Kappa, join free agency, and he signed a 4-year, $40 million deal with the Bengals. So there you go. Tom Brady starting right guard for the last 2 years, and Tampa Bay is gone. Ronald Jones is going to be gone. Leonard Fournette is probably going to be gone. Of course, we know Antonio Brown is not on the team. I do think you're right. I do think they are going to bring Rob Gronkowski back in. Right now, the ADP of the guys we know are going to be on the Buccaneers roster this upcoming year: Mike Evans is going right at the tail end of round 3, an ADP of 40.7. Chris Godwin's ADP honestly looked quite low to me, even coming off of this ACL, at 53.2. And Keyshawn Vaughn, I'm going to be buying on Keyshawn Vaughn, because unless they draft Breece Hall or whoever, I don't see a way that Keyshawn Vaughn is not the starting running back week one. And then Tyler Johnson sitting there almost undrafted at 238.1. Welcome to everyone on radio here, Sports Grid TV, Sports Grid Radio, Davis Maddock and George Kurtz with you guys, breaking down Tom Brady's return to the NFL. So, George, I mean, what do we think the Buccaneers offense is going to look like after the draft and free agency? Are they adding a wide receiver? Are they adding a running back? What do we think they do on offense?
Well, listen, they're up against it in the cap, so I don't think they're adding anybody on through wide receiver through free agency. Right? The draft, sure, it's a deep draft as far as wide receivers are concerned, so you might be able to get one, maybe even late first round if they want, second round if they also prefer there, so they can add that. Like I said, they have so many free agents, though. I think it's up there is around 20. You name the guys who probably aren't coming back, and I agree. You could find a running back in the draft, and you can find it later in the draft. So you said Keyshawn Vaughn, and they'll add somebody. Now, they could add a lesser guy in free agency as well. You know, Melvin Gordon on a cheaper deal. Maybe he wants to go chase the ring. Wouldn't shock me. Because I want to get, I think Tampa Bay is still a good landing spot, still has a good defense. And players are going to look at him. You know what? At the end of my career, I've made my money. I want to chase the ring. Only team we really got to worry about, Packers and Rams. You know, got as good a chance of getting there. Stay out of the AFC where I got to go through a half dozen teams just to get to where I want to go. It's an easier road than the NFC. So I think they'll be able to attract some cheaper talent that way for people who aren't chasing the money.
Yeah, and, you know, there is, of course, this great narrative that's coming out right now that for every year for the last decade, in the even-numbered years, Tom Brady has won the Super Bowl. He did it with the Buccaneers, and, of course, he did it with the New England Patriots as well. So I'm glad. You know, I guess that's kind of weird. I don't like Tom Brady. You know, I didn't watch that stupid documentary he did on ESPN. Do not subscribe to the TB12 method. Don't hold him in the same regard, you know, that all these other people do. But my first instinct upon seeing the announcement that he was back in the NFL was that I was glad, mostly because that is one spot for fantasy football that we don't have to worry about the skill of the quarterback, right? That there are not that many elite quarterbacks in the world. Tom Brady is definitely one of them. The Buccaneers pass catchers are all going to be good for fantasy football, so we can be happy about that. But guys, we are going to run into a break here real quick. Don't head anywhere, though. We are about to be rejoined by Craig Mish live from spring training. Then we're going to talk about some March Madness and then fantasy or reality before we get out of here. See you guys back in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, and a special little treat here, Craig Mish, joining us live from spring training down in Jupiter, Florida. And I guess, you know, the fantasy baseball gods, they were thinking of us today. I guess maybe more the fantasy baseball devils, I suppose, because Craig, Fernando Tatis Jr., has a fractured wrist. AJ Preller says surgery is probable, could miss a few months, but according to Preller, he's been a quick healer. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call BS on that. You don't, as a baseball player, heal quickly from a fractured wrist.
Well, first of all, it's good to see you guys. Great to be back at the ballpark. The Marlins are on the field now for their first workout. The Cardinals are on the other side, too. So I'll be here today watching that. It's great to be back outside for sure. Yeah, I mean, look, this was, Davis, this is always the dynamic of things that we talked about, and George, you too, on our shows, which is basically we essentially on our show here on Fantasy Sports Today, we sort of were advocating staying away from any fantasy baseball discussion and drafts because of situations like this. And guys, there's no doubt that the Padres held this close to the vest because they could. You know, they didn't want Padres fans to get upset, not buy tickets. There was a lockout going on. They had every option over the last few months. Tatis had every option the last few months to let us know, but certainly he didn't. And that was just the dynamic of why it was so silly to think that you could draft competitively in fantasy baseball in January, February of this year. It's going to be a disaster for a lot of people. Unfortunately, he will not be the only story that we'll hear of, Davis. So, you know, definitely awful news for baseball. Hopefully he's able to come back in May or June. But, you know, the other player, too, by the way, that we heard about the other day, as I go back to you guys, was Acuna. Everyone thought he'd be ready for opening day, and he's not coming back till May. So, I mean, you have to wait on news like this to draft, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, George, on the other hand, Jacob deGrom had media availability for the New York Mets today, as long as we are talking about first-round fantasy baseball draft picks, and he said, my UCL is fine. He said the doctors have checked him, they've done all their things, and they said his UCL is fine. Now, George, of course, we have to take into account these are doctors who are employed or contracted by the New York Mets, so how competent can they possibly be?
Wow, shots fired there already. That's just not nice. Yeah, I'm sure his UCL is fine, depending how you determine the word fine. No pitches. UCL is fine or in great shape here. It's just not torn completely yet. Hopefully it doesn't before his career is over. He also said today that he will opt out of his contract at the end of the season. I'm sure all Met fans were probably glee with Steve Cohen spending money by the seems like the millions each day are thrilled to hear that. I don't blame DeGrom for opting out of the contract, but I think I might not want to say I don't want to negotiate till after the year. Hey, Cohen wants to spend money right now. Steve, let's go pay up here. So, Craig, what do we make of it? How many starts do you think DeGrom and Scherzer are making in your lovely NL East this year?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's for Scherzer. I know he's getting older, but he has been relatively healthy over the course of his career. And so if we're playing the betting game on this and you gave me an over-under of Max Scherzer, let's say 23 and a half starts, I think that's fair. I probably would bet over on that. But if the same number was set for DeGrom, I would go under, just simply, you know, placed on track record. But in the end, what we're seeing, guys, is Steve Cohen is just unafraid to go over this tax and unafraid to continually sign players. And so whether or not this is all going to work out for the Mets, I don't know. I feel like we've had this conversation for 4 or 5 years and it never does, going back to Syndergaard and some of these others. But very clearly, you would think that if the Mets are even in a pinch, they'd be willing to go out and make some moves. And, you know, you got to kind of wonder, by the way, guys, if the Yankees trade yesterday is sort of reaction to what the Mets were doing, going out and trying to make themselves better, too.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of one of those interesting things that now the Mets have become the high-flying, big-spending team in New York. Now they got to win something to get there. They're, right. You know, this is the Clippers-Lakers thing. Like, the Clippers can get Kawhi and Paul George all they want, but until they win something, you know, no one cares. So, and maybe the Mets will end up doing this. So we have some NL East updates here. All of the Braves guys are still free agents. Soler, Freddie Freeman, Eddie Rosario, Jock Peterson. The Marlins add fan favorite. That's the right way to explain Williams Astudillo. Sean Armstrong, also a minor league deal. Chris Bassett and Adam Ottavino added with the Mets. This was the one that really leapt out to me, Craig. We were talking about him last week. The Nationals signed designated hitter Nelson Cruz. I mean, this could be the signing. I mean, not the signing of the year because you don't play in the field or whatever, but he could hit 35 home runs and strike out, you know, 21% of the time and just be Nelson Cruz. Like, it's insane. And I would guess this is not that big of a deal, but the Nationals probably are making out like bandits here.
Yeah, this is a huge bump for Cruz's fantasy value. And Davis, I don't know if you feel this way, or George or Davis, but it sure feels like he chased the money here because Washington is certainly not going to be winning any World Series championship this year. But remember last year when Cruz signed with Tampa Bay, the one beef that we sort of heard behind the scenes from him is that, wait a second, I signed with Tampa Bay. Oh, that's right. I'm not going to be playing every day. They're going to be platooning me and playing other players. I think Cruz is looking at this. He's chasing 500 home runs, a potential Hall of Fame appearance. And that's what we love for fantasy baseball. We want the guys who are individuals, sadly enough, not really playing for the best teams. I think Washington is not going to be good. I have them finishing last still in the division. But there's no doubt that Nelson Cruz is batting cleanup. And if healthy, is going to get 550 plate appearances, 30 home runs. This was a fantastic landing spot, Davis. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, what do you make of some of these NL East signings? What's the big fantasy baseball news here for you, George? I mean, where are you hoping Soler, Freeman, Peterson? Where are you hoping those guys go? All the Braves guys.
Well, I'm hoping Freeman comes to the Yankees. That's where I'd like to see Freeman go. But I'll check with Craig. What are we hearing about Freeman? I know he's not going to the Yankees. They're a distant third. I think Atlanta screwed this up royally. I think, how do you not sign Freddie Freeman? The guy you sort of want to build your team around. You want him to be the face of the franchise here. L.A. is going to offer him more money. L.A., I guess you're hoping it's the, you know, okay, hey, you know, it's Atlanta. You've been here your whole career. But if I'm Freeman, I'm a little ticked off here at the way I've been treated by the Braves here. I just might go to my hometown team in the Dodgers. That's where he lives in the offseason here. Where do you think he's going, Craig? L.A. or Atlanta? Yankees have a shot?
Yeah, it's funny is that this is the difference for fantasy versus reality. And as you guys both know, Alex Anthopoulos, a friend of our show here at Fantasy Sports Today, he comes on the show. I mean, do we really know what Atlanta has offered Freddie Freeman outside of what is being reported? I would stop at that point. You know, look, the Dodgers, guys, every year they're in on every big free agent. How many do they end up really signing in the end? Think about that. The Dodgers are sort of creative with their money. They spread the money around. I think Freddie Freeman's going back to Atlanta. That's my opinion on it. I do think he ends up there. If Atlanta has to go to a sixth year to get the deal done, that's what they're going to do to get the deal done. But they'd be basically negotiating against themselves unless they actually know that LA has done that outside of the media guys. So that's an interesting one. Solaire still up in the air. He will not be back in Atlanta. Neither will Eddie Rosario. Those two players will be looking for big paydays. Neither of them have had one yet.
Yeah, and Solaire is pretty interesting because he's kind of just been a hired gun the last few years of his career. Of course, he has the crazy, the juiced ball season with the Kansas City Royals. Right. Now, he was very good for the Atlanta Braves when it mattered. I mean, his regular season, you know, he batted .223. He struck out a bunch, but he was really good when it mattered. I would guess that he probably made himself a bunch of money in the postseason relative to what it would have been had he had just had his contract expire with the Kansas City Royals. You know, you hit 27 home runs for the Kansas City Royals, and you're not that great in the outfield, and you're probably a designated hitter now with every team having a DH. Probably not going to be heading into that big of a paycheck. You win a World Series MVP, it's going to be a little bit better. I'm hoping Jorge Soler gets paid. I have a Jorge Soler jersey sitting in the back of my closet from when he was a member of the Kansas City Royals. So, Craig, thank you very much for joining us live from spring training. We are going to be discussing some March Madness when we get back. Going to give you some tips on filling out your bracket and then getting into fantasy reality. So see everyone back here in just a few moments.
Break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. Before we get into some NCAA March Madness bracket discussion, we do need to tackle some of the free agency happening. So, George, just real quick, right as free agency just launched, the Arizona Cardinals gave James Conner a 3-year contract extension, and the Miami Dolphins signed Chase Edmonds. You might remember, James Conner led the NFL in touchdowns last season. I mean, this is a pretty significant development and movement for James Conner's fantasy value, because the only other running backs on the roster are Eno Benjamin and Jonathan Ward, neither of whom played very much when Chase Edmonds was out and James Conner was the starting running back for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, as someone who didn't have Conner on any fantasy football team and had to watch those two touchdowns a week over and over and over again. Yeah, I remember him. I remember him, Davis. Do I think this is going to work out? I think he'll be a solid guy for them. Nothing that's going to break the bank for Arizona. He's done this before. He's had a good stretch of a season, then also disappeared Pittsburgh. I don't think he's a special back at all here, but I think he's once again could be part of a committee. They'll have to either add somebody else or hope that Eno is really going to be that guy that they can pair with him. Evans going to Miami they got to have a legitimate running game here, right? If you want to find out who is going to be that quarterback, you need to give him a running game that's reliable week in and week out. I think with Chase, the problem is, can he stay healthy? I mean, if we're betting on 17 games for him, he ain't playing 17. All right, 12.5, that's about what I'd put it at. 11.5, I might even still want to go the under there. That's my worry there. I wonder if they're done as far as adding a running back. But we've seen this over and over again from Miami the past couple of years. They've ignored it in the draft. They've had chances early on to get a running back. They keep ignoring it. Now they sign someone in free agency. Has to be good for Tua.
And one more other item here, Jarvis Landry released by the Cleveland Browns. So I think this makes it very likely he signs with a really good team, because he's going to get his money anyway, because when you get released, you still get your contract paid out. So I think he can afford to sign a cheaper deal with Kansas City, with Buffalo, with Tampa Bay, you know, somewhere like that. Where do you think Jarvis Landry ends up playing?
It's a strong draft for wide receivers. It's a strong free agent class of wide receivers. Landry's a good number two on any of those teams. Man, you put him on Buffalo with Diggs. Remember, they want to move on from Beasley. I don't think he's going to Tampa unless he goes real cheap. It's just a possibility. We keep saying that they, you know, if you want to chase the ring there, Tom's coming back. Maybe he makes a phone call there. He'd look good there. He'd look good on a lot of teams. Let's face it. Landry could be a good complimentary receiver to any number one. So I could see him going to one of those teams. Green Bay, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers would appreciate it. They just don't have any money. Now, of course, it's March. It's March Madness time. Selection Sunday happened yesterday. We have our brackets. Of course, we all know you're all going to be in your office pools. My inbox, George, has been absolutely flooded with brackets, pools. One of my friends runs a Survivor pool where every day of the tournament, all you have to do, she's got to pick one team to win every single day all the way up until the final. So lots of interesting game theory there. So I thought, because you and I, look, let's just be honest, we are not college basketball experts. We are going to come into watching March Madness the way that many people are going to come into watching March Madness, which is as, you know, people who are gambling on it and as, you know, just a casual interest. So I thought a good topic for today would be to just talk about strategies for filling out brackets, right? Because a lot of people who are going to be filling out their brackets are just going to use I've watched my buddies who don't know about sports betting or daily fantasy or whatever. I've watched them fill out their brackets, and it's never good. They never follow the right rules. So I thought that would be a good topic for today. How many pools are you going to be in, George?
Well, if Scotty Wetzel keeps sending out these emails to join one of his pools, I'll probably have to join one of his. I might join a pool with my buddies there. Somebody usually sends one out, then I'll go in with those. But nothing that's going to cost me anything. I'm not big into this. I do think there's a strategy to it. I think it also depends upon how big of one you're joining. Because if you don't want your buddies, 10, 12, an office pool, 15 people, fine. You can just go with the basics, pick who you think is going to win. But I think if you're going into one of these, a national pool, there's going to be thousands upon people. You got to be out there. You can't go with everybody else, all right, because you're not going to win anything. Everyone's picking the same stuff. You want to be a little different here. I'm not saying you're going to go against Gonzaga in round one or Arizona in round one. No, but I think you do have to pick some upsets here that no one else is seeing here. That's how you'll win these things. Also, you're not going to win anyway, right? You have against thousands of other people. So why not go out, you know, hey, who saw this 3 seed losing to the 14 seed, something like that. I think that's how you have to win these things.
100%, you are correct. So you need to be adjusting for your size of pool, right? You go over to ESPN, CBS, NCAA.com, wherever. You know, you go there and you're entering in against millions of other people. You cannot just be picking the 5-12 upset, right? You can't do it. And those are the brackets where you can take a Jacksonville State over Auburn. Or, I mean, you know, or a Yale over Purdue or something like that. You need to be getting, you definitely need to be choosing some upsets. What you want to avoid, though, are the really popular upsets. And we see this happen every year. There will be one 5-12 game because the 5-12 is generally the game that has the most amount of upsets. Just somewhere along there, one of those will be the most popular. We have Houston, UAB as one of the 5-12s, UConn, New Mexico State as one of the 5-12s. And again, I don't know, and we'll get more data on this because on these websites, what you'll be able to see, they actually give this information away. You can see what percentage of the pool is selecting what you are selecting so you can avoid those spots. Also, George, another huge mistake I see people make is they'll have their 12 seed upset person or team, you know, making the Elite Eight. They'll have a 6 seed making the Final Four. I mean, let's be honest. The Cinderella stories, they generally end in the round of 32. So you know, you're the crazy opening weekend, you know, the 14 seed wins the game. A lot of maybe that team sneaks out one other game, right? University of Northern Iowa beating Kansas that time. Like, it happens. But though the Cinderella story teams, very, very rarely do they make it all the way to the Sweet 16.
Agreed. I think what you're looking at is sometimes I don't want to say catch a team off guard, but it's really what it is. So, you know, the first game, you were hot, they weren't. You know, it's a one-game tournament here. So, yeah, I can see that happening here where a team gets lucky the one game, the bounces go their way, whatever it might be. Maybe it even happens twice, you know, but that's about as far as I'm going to bank on it going there as far as that concerned. And I'm not going to do it multiple times. You know, there's not going to be 3-4 Cinderella stories here. I mean, yeah, if you could pick that out, congratulations, you probably won. but the odds of that happening are astronomical here. I'm trying to be concise and, you know, make sort of strategic points here. You can look up the information everyone else is selling, but let's face it. If anybody else is writing this up, that means you're not going to be the only person making this pick anyway. You can have, you said you're going to pull up millions and someone's writing it up. Well, you're not the only person reading this. If they're going with it too, you can have, you know, thousands of people picking this ballpoint. It's hard to do this. I sort of approach it like DFS. If it's a guarantee, all right, I got to take the guarantees. But anything after that, I'm going out there looking for that cheap player that no one ever wants to put in there, but that might get a couple of hits that day, might score a touchdown that day. That's what I'm looking for here. Something that no one else is seeing, at least very few people are seeing, and I probably do need more than one. And once again, one of these national tournaments here. I'm not doing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're not going to get that lucky. But I'm looking for at least one, probably two, no more than three.
Yeah, and probably the number one advice I could give to people is just use KenPom.com, Kenneth Pomeroy. He has done these college basketball ratings every year since 2002. It is all, you know, analytically, algorithmically generated, you know, really what it is it's just a way of ranking teams, adjusting for their conferences and who they play against. You know, it's kind of like an ELO type system. He has, efficiency margins. He adjusts for offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, how fast teams play, how lucky they got during the regular season. And probably most importantly, he adjusts everyone for their schedule. And the website is free. I believe there is a way to subscribe and get extra advanced analysis. But you don't even need it. And the reason to use this is, sure, if you're in a pool with millions of other people, you know, you're trying to search for the perfect bracket or whatever, all of this information is out there. But a lot of these pools I'm doing, George, I'm just doing pools with, you know, my dad and his buddies, my college friends or whatever, 10, 20, 30 people, something like that. And those pools are pretty winnable and you don't really have to go crazy with them. And I think that the KenPom stuff really helps you when you get deeper into the bracket, Sweet 16, Elite 8, help picking some of those winners.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do the same thing as you. All right. Like I said, I might join the Wetzel pool with all of us from work here and whatever else Scotty has going on there, only because he keeps annoying me about it. So I might go with that. I pull up my buddies. If I join a national one, like I said, I'm always going to be rolling dice, picking names out of a hat just to see if I can get lucky here on a couple of these things. Just because I think you need to be. I certainly don't think you can do it straightforward. Everybody has a straightforward one. You're going to need to be out there a bit. But with the buddies and friends here, let's face it, it's $20. What do I care anyway? But at least there'll be a better chance. None of my friends are experts at this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, guys, of course, we're going to have NCAA March Madness stuff for you covered on the network, in-game live, Pharrell Coast to Coast. There are certainly many, many people on the network who have been in the nitty-gritty of college basketball all season long. They've been waiting for this. This is their moment. So if you stay tuned to Sports Grid all week, all weekend long, you're going to get all of the best in-game experience that you can get. We are going to go ahead and run a break here real quick on FST. Fantasy or reality, you need to get out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. Before we get into fantasy or reality, as we bring in our producer, Brent Levy, I wanted to bring up a news story that got buried because free agency just started. But Devontae Adams told the Green Bay Packers he's not playing under the franchise tag. So that either means they got to let him go, that he's got to hold out and not get paid at all, or they have to work out a long-term contract extension for him when they don't really have any money, which, George, you know, would lead me to believe that, yes, Aaron Rodgers committed to the Green Bay Packers, but has not put pen to paper on this contract extension. So I don't know. The Packers are in between a rock and a hard place here. How do you see this situation playing out?
What's today's date?
March 14th.
Anyone? March 14th. You could say all you want about you're not going to play on March 14th, all right? once it comes to September, and you're not going to miss million-dollar paychecks. You're not missing it. That's what the franchise takes, over $1 million a game for wide receivers. He's not missing that. I understand you're going to use all the rhetoric now, saying blah 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 blah. We're going to hold out that, and you're going to report, and you may hold out of mini camps. That wouldn't shock me, but training camp, even that, I'd be surprised. You're not going to miss game checks here. Reading about Rodgers, it looks like Green Bay has an awful lot of money under the salary cap all of a sudden, and people are assuming that's because Rodgers did sign a contract for a very low cap number this year. That's part of the reason there, If they screwed us up with Devontae Adams, by the way, and he didn't play this year, and he did hold out, Rodgers would flip out, man. I mean, he would flip out. All right? So I just can't see this happening, but I think this is all rhetoric now for March. Come when it gets, once it gets midsummer here, late summer, I expect Adams to be in the green and gold.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, let's go ahead and bring in our producer, Brett Levy, to play a little game we call Fantasy or Reality.
All right, guys. Well, it is March Madness. We're finally here. And tomorrow, the tournament officially starts as the first four games get underway. But we spoke a little bit about bracket strategies earlier in the show. And I just have a follow-up question. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. You will fill out multiple March Madness brackets, meaning you will not be importing the same bracket into all your bracket pools. You will have maybe different winners or different first round upsets or different final fours. You will not just copy and paste your bracket. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I'm going to play it more than one. Like I said, I play with my buddies. I might do Wetzel's thing. Will I have different brackets? I honestly don't know. Like I said, this is not a big thing for me. I honestly don't care who wins this thing. I won't lose any sleep over it at all. Care about the whatever money I put into these things. It's not enough for me to worry about here. So am I going to want to put the extra work in? It's a busy week, man. This is a busy week. We got NFL free agency start here. The legal tampering period. What an idiotic term that is. Legal tampering period. NHL free agent trade deadline is next Monday. Baseball is going to have more trades and free agency going on this week. I don't know how much time I'll have here to do a different bracket other than pick one different team here. I'm going to say probably not, that I'm going to get lazy. So I'll say this is no, I don't think I will. Fiction.
Yeah, reality for me, I will definitely do a different bracket for every pool that I enter because I will adjust it based on size. Now, I will probably have one bracket that I put into all friends and family brackets, right? So any bracket that is done, with 20, 30, 40 people, whatever, that is going to all be the same one. I will just copy and paste, click that over, send the money wherever I need to send it. Now, for like the big ESPN contest, CBS, whoever does that, I will do a different one because look, you cannot win if you don't enter, and the prizes for winning these bracket contests are always really cool. You can win cars and all sorts of crazy stuff, and if you're the last one left with the perfect bracket, all that. Like there's marginal small amounts of EV in these things, so I will fill out some different ones for these. So Brett, that is going to be a reality for me.
All right, and our next question. This one was given to us by our guy, Greg Sussman, here. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. All four number one seeds will make the Sweet 16 this year. It's Gonzaga, Baylor, Kansas, and Arizona are the 4-1 seeds. So all of them will make the second weekend. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, this is a really big fantasy. I mean, I don't even like I said earlier, I am not a fantasy basketball, a college basketball expert. I don't know a ton about these teams, but what I do know is that all of my buddies who are big into college basketball have been talking about how this is going to be a really crazy tournament. None of these teams, it's a year of parity in college basketball. And I also know that, but that Kansas and Baylor both had some bad losses throughout the course of the year. I mean, Baylor didn't even win, didn't even make it to the final of the Big 12 tournament. They lost to Oklahoma. That was Oklahoma's last chance to make it into the tournament. They ended up not making it. But I mean, Kansas, it's so funny. Like, Kansas is this historically great basketball school. They win the Big 12 every year. They win the Big 12 tournament every year. And then they just lose in the round of 32, like, every single year. Like, they're always losing. In the second game, they have all these historic collapses. And I think that the math would be on my favor in this one as well. Just, like, if you just straight ran the probability, more than 50% of the time, at least one of the number one seeds would be eliminated by the Sweet 16. So I'm saying Fantasy George.
Yeah, that's what was going through my head. The last thing you talked about here, the math. You know, how often do we go 8-0? Top four seeds win their first two games here. I'm guessing, as you said, more than 50% of the time would be no. I do know this season, as you said, it is a more parity where these teams are very close. There's no dominant, well, it's not truly dominant team where you think, oh, you know, there's two or three teams that are going to run over everybody else. We don't have that this year. So I agree with you. I think this is I think it's a fantasy as well. I'm going to go 2-0 for fantasy here. I don't think we're going to have all four. Even in a normal year, not that this is all that admirable, but even a year where we did have some strong teams here, I still might think one of these teams would get would have it upset the first couple of games. You just said it.
Yep.
Your first game, maybe a little nervous here. It could happen here. So, no, fantasy. We're not going
8-0. All right. Well, our last question of the day is a good one, and we're going back to Tom Brady, because earlier in the week, his last, we'll put that in quotations, touchdown pass sold for over $500,000. And then about 48 hours later, George, it was no longer his last touchdown pass. So we had to ask, and George, we'll start with you. The guy who bought the last TD pass from Tom Brady made the worst investment ever. Is this a fantasy or reality? Also note, the ball went for over $500,000 and is probably never going to touch that again, since we all expect Tom Brady to throw another touchdown pass this season. So, George, is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think it was $518,000 offhand what the ball went for. Well, I mean, I don't know what's – I don't. It wasn't even 48 hours, by the way, right? I think it was less than that. What is this guy thinking? I mean, you're probably all thrilled. Oh, I got Tom Brady's last touchdown pass looking good. Listen, first off, I don't know who the guy was, by the way, but I imagine he has a lot of money. So maybe the 518 is not a killer. But if this is your life savings that you saved up for this ball, you think it's going to be some kind of investment for years to come, you're going to be – what? Please tell me that's a fake account. Please. He didn't know. No. I mean, listen, I don't know what I would be feeling. I truly don't know what I'd be feeling. I'd be flipping out right now. But right now, I hope Tom at least signed the ball for you, or will sign the ball for you. Maybe give you some merchandise. What did he give that the one fan who Evans gave the ball to wrongfully here? Some cryptocurrency and everything else. I hope, listen, maybe Tom will recoup some of it, because you just got screwed. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't laugh, but it's funny. It was funny to me when Cardano sent this to me. I think it's hilarious. I do. Is it the worst investment ever? I doubt it. Now, there's been plenty of much worse investments here. But as far as the worst sports investment, absolutely. When have we heard about this? Somebody buying something like this? I mean, next day, it's useless. I mean, it's worthless. It's okay. Hey, you got a ball by Tom Brady. Good luck.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of interesting, because I was thinking, like, oh, you know, maybe Michael Jordan's fake retirement, you know, something like that. But collectibles are at such the forefront of our culture right now. Like, you know, when Michael Jordan, I mean, even when Michael Jordan retired, like, for real, sports collectibles and cards and jerseys and things like that, like, people wanted them and people would pay for them, but, like, collectibles from sporting events, high-end sports cards, jerseys, helmets, you know, game-worn stuff, like, all of these things are so much more a part of our culture now. So I think probably it's pretty bad. Now, I was thinking, like, what would actually be the worst investment ever? Like, someone, like, pumped millions of dollars into Lehman Brothers before they folded, or, you know, like, buying into, you know, someone just bought an apartment complex outside of Miami right before the subprime mortgage crisis or something like that. Like, what would truly be the worst investment ever. I was reading something this morning about Napster, and imagining being the person that bought Napster after, because Napster, they went bankrupt, and then someone bought it from them afterward for like the logo and everything like that. So that's probably not a particularly great investment, but it's pretty bad. Although I don't feel sorry for this guy, because George, didn't we all know Brady was coming back? I mean, maybe he wasn't going to come back immediately, but like, was there any, I did not see one person out there whose opinion was Brady's gone, Brady's done, it's forever, he's never coming back. Like, I didn't see anyone hold that opinion. So it's hard for me to believe that this guy wasn't just bidding against himself, because not that many people believe Brady was really done.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's truly shocked about this. And for all I know, maybe the ball would have gone for more, by the way, if everybody thought Brady truly was retired. Maybe it goes to $750,000. Maybe it was ended up being cheap. I don't know how the, I'm certainly not in on this. But I think it was a risk. You know, I think it certainly was a risk. We all thought that Brady might come back. It's only March. It's not like we're doing this in June, July, or, August, where training camp started. He's still not there. Okay, he is gone. You know, we haven't even done the mini camps yet. You know, more or less that. So, yeah, I think there was risk involved here, and it ends up being what it is. I think, listen, I still feel bad. I mean, it's a funny story. I still feel bad for the guy. Sort of, unless I find out he's a billionaire, then I don't care. But, it's just bad timing. What are you going to do? Bad, less than 24 hours later. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that the guy who has $518,000 to spend on Tom Brady's last ever touchdown pass is probably not in general hurting that much for money if you have the $518,000 you can pay. So you know what, George? I don't really feel that bad for him. Enjoy your worthless piece of leather. And, maybe Brady will do a TikTok with him or something to make it even or whatever. But we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. If you missed any of today's show, you can go back and watch it all on demand. George and I are going to close out here in a few moments with the Sports Grid 60s. We'll be back in a few seconds.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back in to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. As always, we're going to go ahead and close our show out with a little something we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
All right, today starts the NFL's legal tampering period as far as free agency is concerned. There is no such thing as legal tampering. All right, either it's tampering or it's not tampering. I don't know why they choose to call it this. I don't know why this even began, by the way. What do they think? They think it's because they're worried about agents talking to players and working out deals before free agency began. So what do they think now? Oh, no one's talking to each other now because we have a legal tampering period. So everyone's all quiet now. No, they didn't talk over the weekend or last week or last month. Give me a break. It's just idiotic. All right, you want to call it a negotiating window, fine. Legal tampering is an idiotic term in my mind here. All this stuff is all worked out anyway. So many teams already know who's signing where. I think Davis already said, we already know Chase is going to Miami. Oh, yeah, that just magically happened in the first minutes of the legally tampering window. What a joke in my mind here. But that being said, it's going to be a fun week to find out where people end up. Because by Wednesday, by the time you're allowed to legally sign people, we're going to know where 90% of the top free agents are going.
Which is funny, and Major League Baseball cannot be happy about this, that Major League Baseball free agency is getting overshadowed right now because it's happening at the exact same time as NFL free agency and speaking about the legal tampering. I mean, we're getting deals announced left and right. We got Chase Edmonds to Miami. We got contract extensions for James Conner. Michael Gallup signs his deal. And this is so funny to me. Funniest news item of the day, Mitchell Trubisky signs a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers and is expected to be their starting quarterback heading into the season. I mean, how the mighty have fallen. The Pittsburgh Steelers haven't had a losing record with Mike Tomlin as their coach, multiple time Super Bowl champions, and now their franchise is distilled down to Mitchell Trubisky. Thanks to Brett, thanks to George, thanks to Craig, thanks to LTN. We'll see you back tomorrow, everybody. Great.